What is good, guys, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Sneaker Reselling 101 podcast. I am your host, Dylan Sangley, and we are now on episode number 18. And we got the other host, Dom. Obviously, you guys know who Dom is.
What's good, guys? Is this,
yes, sir.
Is this 18? Why did I think we were on 19, bro?
Because we were already planning for 19. That's why. Yeah, we were planning ahead. I checked before we went on, but we are definitely on episode number 18 because we were talking about episode 19, and we were writing it down already about episode 19. But again, guys, welcome to episode number 18. Dom, how are you been, bro? Been good?
Bro.
I don't know if I asked you that already.
No, not yet. Doing pretty well. You know, we talked about it on the last one. My physical therapy's been going pretty well. I have a pinched nerve in, like, my upper back, but I already feel it getting better. So I know we were just talking about it on the phone before we went live. You right. might be coming out here in December. I really want to be healthy enough to hoop Facts. And play basketball Facts. When you come out. So that's, like, my goal I have right now.
Bro, that's going to be so fun, bro. Like I said, George, DFW, I think Rob might come out. We all hopped on a FaceTime call, and we're definitely planning on doing it. I think that might be the trip that's going to end 2021, and then wherever I go in 2022, that's still undecided. But that's going to be real fun, bro.
Yeah, and that's always a really cool event. I really like that event. So
exactly, and I feel like we can even do, like, a live podcast. You know what I mean? I don't know what episode that will be, but, like, it's probably going to be, I don't know, what is that? Probably like 30s or 40s, maybe even 50s.
I bet 30s. Probably
yeah.
30s.
Maybe even more, I don't know. You know, but we got a lot going on. We kind of have like a consistent / kind of inconsistent schedule. Like, it's consistent, like we're always, like, doing it, but, like, we don't know what days we're going to do it on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're a bit all over the place, but I like it.
Yeah, me too. Me too, bro. So, I like it. We do podcasts on days that feel convenient for us because we have a lot to talk about. And yeah, man, let's go and talk about our podcast process lately.
Yeah.
Right? You and I have been way more organized, right? We talk a lot about topics beforehand so that, you know, we're not really losing track of the topics that we do talk about. And, you know, it's funny because I was listening to some of our older podcasts, like episode 1 and 2 and all that stuff. It was good, but it wasn't as, like, organized as they are now. You know right. what I mean? Because we take it step by step.
Yeah, I think our flow is a lot more consistent now. I think in past episodes, we've had, like, stretches of time or episodes at a time where we'd be constantly flowing and everything would go really well. And then we'd have episodes where, like, there'd be gaps where we had to, like, kind of between me and you figure out what the next topic would be.
Yeah.
And now I think we're doing more of our prep work to get on the phone, list out things we want to talk about, you know, figure out how long we want to run the episodes for and all that stuff. And then just
exactly.
going out and executing. So I think that's been big for us. Also, we really worked to get this one scheduled. Squeeze this one
yeah.
into that.
We had to, man. As you know, well, I don't know if a lot of people are listening know, but, like, it's going to be my birthday in literally less than an hour, October 15, man. So, boy's getting old, so.
Yes, sir. You know. Happy early birthday. How old are you going to be?
Hey, man. Whatever. How old you want me to be, bro? We'll leave it at that, bro. We'll leave it at that.
All right.
It's a mystery, Dom.
All right, bro.
But yeah, man. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun one, though. I'm definitely excited. It's going to be really, really exhausting. This whole weekend's going to be very, very exhausting for me. You know, we're up right now. Probably not going to go to bed until, like, 1 or 2, most likely. Probably going to wake up around, you know, 8 or 9, probably earlier. Who knows? I think my girlfriend's going to take me out. Then we're going to have, you know, a long day, have dinner. And then at 11 p.m., I'm going to hit a flight to go to New York.
Right.
And then that's also going to be a long day because I'm not going to get back until, like, 12 a.m.
Bro, those one
on
day,
Sunday.
those one day trips are fucking insane.
Oh my gosh, bro. You've done it before, right?
No, I haven't done it.
Never done it?
No.
Oh my gosh. George has done it. I know a lot of people, like a lot of our friends have done it, but when George and I went to Boston, bro, it was kind of hectic. It was kind of crazy. But at the same time too, we're doing what we love. It's an experience, and I don't want to miss out. I haven't been in New York since I was a young kid, so I haven't. You know, I'm very, very excited for New York, man.
Yep.
Sounds good. Yeah, man. Yeah. So let's hope. Let's cross our fingers. Keep me in your prayers, and let's see. Let's hope this weekend goes well. But let's talk about your mystery box. I know we were gonna talk about this in episode number 19. But you got it. You already got it. You opened it. And go ahead and talk about that. I know you just dropped the YouTube video like literally 30 minutes ago. So go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, I'm going to plug myself, 760 Kicks TV. You can go watch the video of me unboxing this box we're about to talk about. Yeah, I got a mystery box. I talked about it a lot in the last episode, why I decided I felt comfortable buying it and all that. Honestly, it pretty much went exactly as expected. I got a $1,000 box. The expected ROI was 20%, meaning I'd get 200 in profit, which, I mean, I know for me and you, like, normally I wouldn't spend $1,000 to make 200.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense.
It's a decent bit lower than I would normally do, but, you know, between A, those items will be profitable, B, he said they'd be mostly DS, and then C, I'll make the content out of it. I decided it was, you know, worth doing. So I got the box. $1,000 box. I got four pairs of DS shoes, two used pairs. I think the market value is like, I think on the video I said about $1,340, which means I'll make some decent money after shipping or fees if I sell some stuff on apps. So, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good box, pretty fair for the price, pretty much exactly as described, if not a little bit better. So, I have no complaints on it.
Go ahead and say one of the shoes, just like to give someone a sneak peek that's listening right now. What is one of the shoes, one of your favorite shoes that was actually from the box?
There's one that kind of sticks out as a weird one to me. So I got a pair of Yeezy slides, which, as you know, I've never had a pair of Yeezy slides before.
Didn't you want a pair for personal?
I want to try one on, and then we'll see.
What size are they?
5. That's what I was going to get to. Weird.
Yeah, I haven't watched the video yet.
Yeah. I mean, it just dropped. Yeah. It's the bone colorway. I don't know if that was the first one. I feel like it was because the market's high.
Those go for a lot, yeah.
So size 5, brand new. Market's like 3-something on them. And it has the Asia Pacific box, which is always weird. You know what I'm talking about? So that is just – it's all around kind of a weird shoe. It's the original Yeezy slide, right? For sure. First one to drop, size 5, Asia Pacific box.
I'm pretty sure it was the first one to drop. I can't – don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure. That's probably why they're expensive.
Exactly. I'm thinking it's kind of like the foam runners where it's like there's other colorways that look like it, but the first foam runner kind of goes for the most. I'm assuming this one, the bone colorway, seems to go for more than all the other Yeezy slides I've seen. Again, don't quote me on that either because I don't really buy pairs of those, but I assume that was the first drop.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was an interesting one.
So you said it was interesting because it was a you said Asia release?
Yeah.
And it had that sticker?
Yeah, it had the sticker on the side and the box label I don't know if it's Chinese characters or something else, which I know freaks some people out, which is why I point out.
I feel you.
But the thing is they do release shoes in Asia. These were authentic, of course. But that always throws people. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, bro, I got a pair from eBay, obviously, with the authentication service and all that, and same exact thing. It was
Asia release.
Yeah, Asia release pair. Same exact thing. It's not Asia specifically really just exclusive, but
yeah.
Man, it does freak people out, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I've gotten two pairs like that, and when I got them in, I was kind of sussed out a little bit because I've never had an Asia release pair. I keep trying to say exclusive, but you guys know what I mean.
Yeah.
So like, do you take off the sticker? Do you not?
Like, so here's what I do. So first of all, if it doesn't sell on my page, I'll just sell it to StockX or Goat because it is brand new. And I assume that's going to be kind of a harder pair to move, a size 5 Yeezy Slide. So I'm already like thinking it'll most likely go to an app. As far as selling it on my page goes, I might get like a check receipt. So if somebody brings it up, I can say like, yeah, it's just the Asia Pacific release. Here's the check receipt. I mean, I might not too, because obviously they are.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'll do is when I put out the description on the post, I'll specifically mention that it is the Asia Pacific release so that anyone who's like unsure what it is, their question's answered in my description. So I'm like, it goes to that communication topic we wrote down.
That's that's what we're going to go into next. Exactly. Bro. We were thinking about the same thing. That's why I almost cut you off, but like, I let you talk, but go ahead. Keep going, bro.
Exactly that, bro. Exactly that. It's like anytime there's something a little bit weird or out of the ordinary, you just want to communicate with your customers. I'll be very clear with anybody who considers buying that shoe that this is every single shoe produced by Nike or Adidas. I mean, not every single one, but the vast majority have a US release, have an EU release, and then have an Asia Pacific release. And this is just an Asia Pacific release.
Yeah, facts, bro. And let's go ahead and talk about that topic, is the communication topic, which is on our list. So, again, a lot of these topics are talked about on the phone between Dom and I. And, you know, we were actually on a phone call, 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago. And I was telling him, like, hey, bro, like, do you ever feel some type of way when you buy or you sell sneakers? Okay, so for example, when you buy sneakers via GUA, right? So for example, like if you were the seller, you and I would negotiate a price, you send me out the shoes, but you and I have never done business before, right? So you have some sort of trust with me, but obviously you and I have never done business before, so you continuously spam me like, yo, like, I don't know. There's just some type of sense to me as like a buyer, like, damn, this dude really doesn't trust me. Or like, if I were to sell a shoe to a first time buyer, you know, they're like consistently asking for tracking, and you know what I mean? I understand, like, that's why that's why we say communication is key.
Right.
We've said this a lot of times in this podcast, but, you know, there's some times where tracking might be delayed, or, you know, there's certain things within the business that make you feel like, damn, you know, I mean, you want to be able to help your customer as much as possible, but at the same time too, there's just some things that you can't control. And when you can't control these things, there's just some type of like itch behind like your neck. And there's just like some type of feeling like, damn, like I wasn't able to reach this person's expectation. Or I don't know, like if you want to kind of go off of that, because you and I talked about it, but I just can't I can't really like describe the feeling.
I got you.
That
you're going
people,
you know, going a couple of different directions at once here. I feel like there's kind of the first aspect is you get these situations where you make a deal with somebody, whether that means they ship you a shoe and then you pay when it arrives and then they have to be patient with that process, or where somebody buys a shoe from you and then again they have to be patient with that process because obviously shipping takes time.
Yeah,
the number one thing for me is, like we said, that helps these situations where somebody like decided to trust you but then seems a little bit nervous, because that does happen a lot, is, and we talked about this on the phone, of course, but I try to give very specific timelines. So like if somebody buys a shoe from me, I try to tell them what date and what time they should expect to get their tracking information by. And usually like I'll say, you know, they bought it on Tuesday. I'll say, you know, you're going to expect to get tracking information by Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Normally what ends up happening then is that person won't actually hit me up about tracking until after that time, if I miss my shipping deadline, which almost, yep, almost never happens, but occasionally it does. And then,
yep,
if they are to hit me before that time, I'll just repeat what I said the first time again. Like,
exactly.
You'll receive tracking information at 3 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday. You know, exactly. And just so they, it gives them a timeline. So it's a certain amount of time that they have to trust you for. You prove you can hit your deadline and you will hit your deadline. Mm-hmm. And then usually, mm-hmm, that helps the deal go smoother. I do the same thing with GUA as well sometimes. You know, if somebody says, you know, items delivered. I know it's one thing if you're not by your phone, so somebody's blowing you up and you can't answer right away.
Which, yeah, is, facts.
That's frustrating because then you look at it and you're like, damn, like they're damn, so nervous. I, yep, don't want them to feel, yep, like that. But, yep, if I am by my phone and I'm not at home, I'll say, hey, you know, for example, hey, I see the tracking. You're right. It looks like the package was delivered. I'll be home at 5 p.m. I'll message you when I open the package around that time. And mm-hmm, at that time, I'll give you an update on when you can expect your payout. Or if I am home and I see the package at the door, but I know I have a busy day, because obviously you can't always, I always promise to pay out packages same day, but it's not like you can always do it same hour, because we have items to ship, items to list.
Exactly.
I mean, just, and lives.
Like, busy. Other stuff, yeah, we're busy. Yeah.
So with that, I will, I'll usually just give a timeline. So I'll say, you know, I see your package was delivered. I'm at home. I'm probably going to open it in a couple hours. I'll message you when I open it. And then you can expect payment by, for example, send me your info now. You should expect payment by 8 p.m. Pacific time. You know, yep, just giving these hard deadlines usually helps to keep people a little bit more patient. And then at that point, you can talk to them again if you need to.
Right. I really, really do like that a lot. And I do the same exact thing, you know, over-communicating with your customers, right, especially the people that give you trust, right? Right. Because again, I have to have empathy for the people that do this. And, you know, there's some people that obviously trust me and like they'll just let me do my thing. And right, typically I try to ship next day, you know, if I'm not overly booked or like if I'm not like super busy, I'll definitely try to ship next day, depending on how many packages I get, whatever, so on and so forth. You know, but again, like what you said, when people are spamming you, regardless if you're like maybe asleep or if you're in a meeting or if you're running some errands or shipping orders, whatever it is, you want to be able to message that person as soon as possible. Right.
Right.
Like I understand that. But then again, that's where the over-communication comes in. You know, you let them know ahead of time. Like, for example, just to give you guys a quick example, I did GUA with someone and he sent me 3 pairs of shoes. I think it was roughly like a $600 deal. Okay. So what I did was, you know, he sent me the tracking. Communication was great. Right. When I got the package, he's like, yo, bro, when are you going to send the money? And I'm like, bro, I got you. As soon as I get home, I got to legit check the pair and then I'll send you out the funds. Right. And then, you know, I got home, I FaceTimed him. I'm like, hey bro, just let you know you're in good hands. Right. And you have nothing to worry about. I'm just gonna go ahead and legit check the pairs right now and I'll send you out the money. And he was like, all right, bet bro, just let me know. He was on his way to somewhere and he got the money. You know what I mean? Or I told him to request it so I could go ahead and send them the money too.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like I mean, even like I said, FaceTiming the person, that really helps a lot for me, because now they know, like, okay, that's the actual guy that I see on social media. That's the guy that I know I bought from, you know?
Right.
Because you and I talked about this before, putting a face behind your brand, it gives people a lot more trust. Whereas someone that doesn't do that, it looks kind of, you know, sketchy in a way.
Yeah. Right. There's just like, you have something more to lose is one way I think about it. You know, or you're more confident in what you're putting out there because you'll attach your face and your name to it and everything. So you can look at it from both lenses there. And I like the FaceTime thing. I actually haven't done that in a while, but the FaceTime, yeah. I've had customers come back to me over and over and over again, like be yep. like an 8-time buyer where they probably wouldn't have even made the first purchase if I didn't FaceTime them.
Exactly.
You know? So facts. It helps a lot. It helps so much with communicating and people tying a face to your brand and understanding right. that it's really you, the person they see on social media, selling them the shoes.
Right.
So like we said, communication is everything.
We should actually stay on this topic about like the video chat You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because obviously Instagram has the feature of you, but you know, that you can like actually video chat via the DM. So, you know, there was one point in time where I said, yo, send me your size and, you know, comment, and then DM me saying, call me. DM me saying, and DM me and respond, and then say, call me, and I'll call you. So basically what I did was, you know, there was multiple bulk buyers, but there was this one bulk buyer, I think he was from Milwaukee, right? And, you know, I was sitting on a few pairs of shoes that I really couldn't move as much. So he called me. He's like, yo, bro, I'm really interested in some things in your highlights. So I was like, all right, bet. So I called him. I FaceTimed him. I kid you not, within less than 30 minutes, we closed a $5,000 deal.
Wow.
Just like that. And you know what I mean? Again, this person gave me the trust to send me the money via Zelle or Apple Pay, whatever it was. And we got that $5,000 deal closed within less than 30 minutes. Another person same day called me. He's like, yo, bro, I'll buy all the shoes or all the bricks that you can't move. I had a bunch of designer stuff that I really couldn't move, right? He was like, I'll take it all. I was like, all right, let's do it. Another two or three thousand dollar deal closed, just like that, right? And again, just I don't know. There's a lot of people that don't really want to utilize that feature. I kind of understand it, but at the same time too, you should definitely kind of think outside the box and try it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Within that $5,000 deal too, I bought a bunch of Fire Red Fives, the 2020 pairs, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I bought it for like a YouTube video, and I thought they're really, really gonna go up, but they ended up doing.
No.
So I think I was asking like $250, and he countered out for $240 a pair. He took all of them.
Wow!
And he took a few pairs of Yeezys. And we closed that $5,000 deal just like that. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, bro.
Was he investing in the Fire Red Vibes? He took all of them?
He does consignment. He does consignment. So I guess
hear consignment people get... So I was going to crack a consignment joke. You know where that's going.
Yeah. You're talking about the new YouTube video that I dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. He was doing consignment. I mean... I guess I got to kind of delve into the consignment game. I'm lucky thinking about it, bro, because I don't know. These consignment people sound like they're really making a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, is that a normal thing for people to consign shoes for overstock X prices after the consignment fee?
I don't know, bro. I mean,
if so, bro, like I'd be better off consigning than
facts. Me too, bro. Me too. I'm really considering it. And again, like the Fire Reds are not really going for that much. They're probably going for like $250, $260.
Yeah.
You know, probably at the shop, they probably have to tax a lot more in order for that person to actually make profit, because he really wanted these shoes and he was really paying lowest ask, bro.
Yeah,
for all the shoes. Or he would offer like $5 to $10 below. I'm like, whatever, take it, because sure. he was taking so much volume. Yeah. And I was like, just take it, bro. You know what I mean?
The sneaker store game all around is just crazy.
It is.
Like
it is.
If a shop needs inventory, bro, they'll pay market. Like
they will. And then they'll move it for like $80 above that, and still like move it fast.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what it is, bro. But like, these stores really move pairs like that for a lot, like way over StockX, and they move like hotcakes.
Hotcakes. I still don't quite get the sneaker shop game, but it's definitely, you know, all these stores know what kind of pairs they can move, and they can really move those pairs. Let's just say that.
Right, right.
Which is cool. It's a cool model.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that YouTube video I just dropped, right? The one, you know, the one where the guy really didn't, you know, so he, just to give someone context that's listening right now.
Right.
This guy called me, right? Well, one of my followers on Instagram referred me to this guy, and I was like, all right, bro, just give him my number. Let him know that I'm always buying shoes. So he called me while I was at the gym, and he goes, yo, bro, I got a few pairs. I'll throw you some good deals, because he had to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove 30 to 40 minutes to his house. First deal, right? Shoes were probably going for like, I think like what, 150.
Which ones were they again?
The Sunset Pulse Dunk Lows. Cool. Those were going for like 150 for the size. And so payout was $90. I told him, I'm like, well, what do you want? How much do you want? He didn't give me a price, right? So he's like, just give me a price. Just give me an offer. And you know what that means. Like if someone says give me an offer, I'm gonna lowball you. I don't really care.
Well, not right? Not to mention, bro, you asked him, because I watched this video and I was getting
mad. I asked him a few
you
times.
You asked him for the price like 7 fucking times. He wouldn't exactly. give a price.
Damn. Exactly, bro. Exactly. Bro, I gave him a chance. I gave him a chance to give me a price.
Yeah.
You know? And then I finally just threw out 90. It was payout. What am I gonna be making? Like $60? $60? Which is literally like,
yeah.
Not, you know, it's not that great of a shoe, number one. It's probably not even gonna move for that much, number two. You know, I'm just really trying to get something going, but he never wanted to give me a price.
Mm.
So he finally gave me a price of 150. I'm like, bro, I can't do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're going for 150. I can't do 150. But then he brought up the consignment. He was saying, you know, if I were to consign these, then I would have got 150, 155. I'm like, you got to understand, bro. I got to make profit too. You know, I'm not a consignment store. I don't own a sneaker shop yet. So with that being said, I have to make some money on top. And he goes, bro, he's like, just letting you know, I'm not gonna sell anything under retail. I'm like, okay, like that's fine. But like, what do you want to do? Because you never even really gave me a number. He was like, the lowest I could do is 130. And it doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, and that was the thing that was interesting about that video to me, was like, it was a deal where he reached out to you, and he had you come to him, and he said, like, I'll give you deals, Facts. And I need to pay rent Facts. And all this. But yep. it didn't really seem like he actually considered your perspective, because he basically, when you came in there, he was unwilling to give you prices. On a lot of the shoes, he was saying, like, you know, I can get above StockX consigning these, or like, these are going to go up in value. There's no point in me selling them. So he didn't
exactly.
really do a lot of selection. And then on the selection he had, he didn't give you prices, you know? So it was tough.
Exactly.
I'm trying to come at this from a perspective that can give value to the audience. And I guess the best way to take it is, I was thinking about like what you could have done better. And mm-hmm. I don't know, man, like, I don't really have much I could say that I could have done better, because he, like, if somebody calls me and says, you know, I have a shit ton of shoes, I need to pay rent, you know, I'll give you some steals, like, just come cash me out. I'd be like,
exactly.
I'm going to take my chances on Bet. That. Every Bet. Single time I take my chances. But
so
where I can try to give value to the audience is, from his perspective, if you're trying to work a deal with somebody, like a larger deal, it's helpful if you can kind of figure out where they're coming from, right? So if you know they own a shop and they're paying the moon for a specific shoe, then yeah, you can bring them in and say, you know, I can give you these dunks for StockX lowest ask, and I have 50 pairs for you. I know you need to stock your shop. Like, that's great. Like, that's good business. Yeah. Or, you know, if you're going to an Instagram reseller or a smaller reseller, or like someone without a shop or whatever the case may be, you got to think about, if we're going to make a deal, I got to give them prices that will be profitable.
Exactly.
And I guess maybe he just thought you were getting 50 to 100 over StockX, you know, because I guess that doesn't seem to exist if you don't have a shop. Like, honestly.
I know. Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know, bro. I was trying to, if you look at the comment section, I was like, bro, you were so patient.
I know.
I would have just left. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I really could have done that. I really should have done that. But in the back of my mind, I felt like there was really something there. I felt as if I were to had, you know, worked with him on his prices, maybe we could build like an actual like long-term customer relationship where if he gets some good steals, you know, some good sneakers for retail, he could probably plug me in with a few pairs. But at the same time too, like you saw the video, very, very unorganized, number one. Very, very messy. Like he had no idea what he wanted to do. He had no idea, like, I don't know, like he didn't have prices. It was very unorganized.
Right. He didn't even know what he wanted to sell. Like, he had all these shoes
exactly
through his house. And, like, he knew, like, every time you bring up a shoe, like, a lot of them, he'd say, like, oh, exactly. Yeah, like, I'm not really trying to sell those.
But, exactly.
But he didn't really know that beforehand. Anyway, exactly. That whole thing looked like a challenging situation.
It was. And I don't know, bro. It was really, really tough. But I did end up getting out of that deal with four pairs. Which those four pairs did kind of give me like a decent profit because I was actually able to sell two of the four pairs that same day. So I had a fast turnover rate. I got the money, done deal, whatever. Now I have two pairs left from that same deal, which I didn't pay too high on. But at the same time, too, I'm probably – I don't want to say I'm never going to do business with them again, but I probably won't really consider it anymore. You know, as much, I probably won't consider it as much as if you were to hit me up again next time.
You probably, you know, wouldn't, I mean, pull up to his house, but if he said, you know, I have shoe X, Y, and Z, and I'll give you this price, and it's a
exactly
good price, then you'd go make the trip. But you wouldn't just pull up and negotiate with him the way you guys tried to do it that time.
Exactly, bro. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, for everyone listening right now, if a seller is not ready to sell sneakers, if the deals don't really look appealing and you really don't believe that you can make money on top, just simply don't waste your time and just move on. You know what I mean? That and that goes with like you being at sneaker events, that goes with you being at local meetups. You know, you just you got to understand that your time is valuable. And for me personally, another thing too was, at that very moment, I knew that I could personally teach my audience something. If I were to had capture this moment, everyone would, you know, there's a lot of people that would be able to get value from this video. Like, damn, Dylan experienced this. Next time I go to a deal, I'm gonna take the same exact thing, and I'm just gonna move on if the deals aren't right.
So what do you feel like they learned? Some combination of like, don't feel pressure to do a deal because you're already
exactly
patient.
Okay. Exactly. We talked about this a lot. Yeah, we talked about this on the pod. Like impulse buying, you don't really have to buy anything if the deals don't look good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the other thing we talked about is you have this bias of like, well, I already drove here. Like I gotta make
exactly
it worth it. And exactly, you know, if you drive a distance to get somewhere and then you buy bad inventory, then you've shot yourself in the foot twice, you know?
Exactly.
But yep, in your case, you were able to work with them and eventually find some profitable deals. So that,
right,
that does,
right,
like that genuinely helps if you can do that.
It did. And again, I was really looking for the fast turnover rate, you know, especially with that deal, because I know the deals that I got weren't the greatest, but I knew that there were sneakers that people wanted.
Right.
So I was like, I posted it up. Someone picked up the two pairs, you know, moved on with that deal. And then I learned a lesson and I was also able to make content. So, you know, overall, it made sense. It still made sense at the end of the day.
Yeah. What were the shoes you bought? So you went for shoes because I saw the video. I don't actually remember what you bought, but you bought stuff that was in demand, but you paid reasonably well for it too.
Right. And so I'm going to go from like the ugliest shoe to probably the best shoe out of the four. So I don't know. These are probably like equal, but I'm gonna go with the white Dunk camo. I don't know if anyone knows what those look like, right? Because there's a black version, and then there's also a white version of the Dunk camo, and then we have the white Free 99 Dunk Lows. Again, white. There's also a white and black version of that. And then, what is it? The championship red. The ones that look kind of like the St. John's, but not really.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So
I do.
Got those ones, the Dunk Lows. And again, these were all Dunk Lows because those move very, very fast. And the last one was the Fog Grays. And those move super, super fast. That was probably like the best one.
Yeah.
So I think I got those Fog Grays for $270. I was able to flip those for, what is it? $320. I was able to flip those for $320, $50 profit. Same thing. I think I got $50 profit from the championship red. So
nice.
You know what I mean? I moved those products pretty fast. $100 profit. Boom, bang, done. So yeah,
not bad.
But, yeah, man, I want to go talk about the next topic because we got to wrap up here very soon, unfortunately, because we have 15 minutes until my birthday, and I know my mom's going to want me to be downstairs. But, man, I'm feeling a little happier these days, man. You know, remember the last episode, you know, I talked about kind of feeling unmotivated in a way. Like, and then you even explained, like, you're never really like that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's crazy. Literally 2 days ago. 2 days ago, bro. It's cleaning shoes. After I was done with all my errands and all that, Gigamis hits me up. And he sends me a screenshot of my TikTok profile. And then under that is all my content back up again. Yeah. But it still says TikTok or has no profile picture, still has a check and everything. Bro, your boy's back on TikTok now.
I know.
We're back, baby. Man, this podcast has heard me being temporarily banned to back up again, to permanently banned to back up again after, like, what, 1 month? Oh, my gosh, bro. I don't know. It's crazy. And for everyone that's going to ask me or DM me about how to get their TikTok back, if their shit is banned, like, don't ask me. Because,
you don't know.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I emailed them. I kept emailing them. And I got the same response back, Dom. Like,
right.
They said that I was banned due to breaking community guidelines. And actually, that same morning that I got it back, they emailed me again, that same exact email, that I wasn't going to get it back. Right, and then I got it back that afternoon.
They kept saying you were permanently banned.
Yes, they kept saying that. And they said it in that very morning that I was going to remain banned. And then I got it back. Everyone started hitting me up. They're like, yo, bro, are you back? Are you unbanned? I'm like, I don't know. So I logged in and I'm back now. Like, cross our fingers. I really... you know, pray to God that nothing happens to that account anymore.
I have quite a few thoughts on that. I'm going to try to get through all of them. First of all, congratulations. That's big. I did not think it was going to happen. So that's,
me neither.
That's great.
Me neither. Facts.
The second thought, I'll just go over this quickly because if you've listened to this podcast, I've said it a million times. The lack of transparency from TikTok is so frustrating. I don't understand how they cannot tell you why you got banned, decide to permanently ban you, repeat it over and over, no, like, you're not coming back, you're permanently banned, and then bring you back. And then another thing to say is that maybe a lesson out of it, like, maybe what we can take away is that you just got to be persistent with these things. I mean, I'm not sure if that's what ultimately helped you, but if this were me, completely honestly, if I had sent all the emails to TikTok and they told me, like, three times I were permanently banned, I would have been like, all right, fuck it, I'm going to dedicate my energy to other places.
Exactly. And that's what I was doing.
But you were still, you were pretty persistent with the emails, right? I know you did.
I was. I really, really was. I was submitting forms every day. I was emailing them every day, the same exact email. But again, I wasn't getting no response. I really felt like it was the end. I really, really did. And I don't know if I said it in the pod before, but the main reason why I wanted the TikTok back was because, number one, I had over 200 drafts just set. I worked so hard on those drafts at SneakerCon and all these other sneaker events. And it was just all gone that very second. Right.
And I don't know. I want to give a little context for anyone listening. The drafts are basically all the pre-made content, all the video you took at these events for your short videos, but they were only saved on TikTok.
Exactly. Exactly. And another thing, too, was over 4,000 videos from when I started TikTok in 2020 to literally whenever I got banned. Over 4,000 videos that I could have easily just saved and put it onto Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts. Now that I have it, I told you this on the phone before we went on, I have so many YouTube Shorts scheduled, literally, for the next, probably till like the next year, bro. I'm going to be honest with you.
That's right? Wild. That's actually wild.
It is wild. And the thing is, too, like, I'm creating every day, every single day. So, like, I mean, obviously, it's not, you know, I'm going to continuously work on that grind and continuously make new content. But at the same time, too, I have a lot of content. You know what I mean? So, like, as of right now, where I'm sitting right now, especially for YouTube, I really just got to mainly focus on my long form YouTube videos.
Yep.
That's basically it. And that's 2 a week.
It's a good spot to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I tell all my friends, I tell you all the time too, schedule out your content, schedule out your, you know, you have so many TikToks. I'm pretty sure you have over 1,000 TikToks, probably even over 2,000 TikToks on your TikTok page. And you could just really save that. No watermark. Snaptick.com. Copy and paste that link. Copy the link from TikTok. Paste it onto Snaptick.com. Save it without no watermark. Post it on Instagram Reels. Post it on Facebook. I heard Facebook is even monetizing now. And then post it on YouTube Shorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's so many. Bro, I'm telling you. I'm so hyped about, like, being – like a social media creator, bro. I'm so hyped about it. I really, it's something I love to do. It's something that you and I really love to do. And, you know, that's actually one of the motivations as to why we started this podcast too, because of how much we are actually passionate about this. So again, if anyone's listening right now, really, if you still haven't started it yet, I know we even like made a challenge, a 5-month challenge. I think we're like, what, month two? Are we still in month one? Still in month one, right?
I feel like we're in month one. I think we're in month one.
Okay. Book it. Month one, whatever it is. Month one, month two, whatever it is. If you're not on it yet, get on it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, man, go ahead and add to that, bro. Let's go.
I actually got completely off topic in my head. I really kind of missed the comments on this, bro. I kind of wonder what the response is from everyone listening, but it just fucks me up when the comments are on. But mm-hmm. Just a reminder for everyone. Sorry, I went off topic real quick. A reminder, the 5-month challenge is next 5 months, try to create one thing a day. Just consistently or more, but create on YouTube, create on TikTok, create on Instagram. Yeah, man.
Facebook, Twitter. I mean, there's a lot of great social media platforms that you can consistently post on.
True.
And, you know, there's really no better time than now, bro. There's creators right now that are literally making a full-time income out of this from their house, doing what they love, literally like filming their day-to-day lifestyle or just giving people tips on what they actually love to do.
Right.
Whether it's playing basketball, whether it's reselling, whether it's skating, you know, whatever it is, these people are making a full-time income out of doing things that they legit love to do. And, you know, my family members, some of my family members still personally don't understand it. And you and I have talked about it. But again, I personally feel like, man, there's going to be a wake up call later on. There's going to be a wake up call soon, actually. Matter of fact.
Sure.
So again, get on it, man. Get on it. We don't tell you this thing. We don't tell you these things because we just want to promote our shit. We tell you guys these things because we want you guys to succeed as well. Right. So, yep.
And we want to be providing as much value on this podcast as possible. That's something that'll help you without a doubt.
Exactly. So guys, that was episode number 18. Stay tuned for episode number 19. We're going to go and talk to you guys about the updates from the New York trip, man.
Yep.
I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if I'm going to be cashing out too heavy yet or if I'm going to be doing another flip challenge like I did in Boston.
I want you to try to cash out. I know how challenging that is, but I want
facts,
to
cash bro. Out. That's going to be it. That's going to be a challenge. But if the deals look decent, you guys can see on the YouTube video, if the deals are decent, then, you know, we might have to make that happen. We really, really might have to make that happen. So, again, guys, stay tuned for that. Episode number 19 will be next. Dom, you got anything else to add, bro?
Happy early birthday.
Thank you so much, bro. 5 minutes away, baby. Let's go. So, again, guys, thank you guys so much for listening. Please make sure you guys go listen to us also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on Instagram at the Reselling 101 Pod. Guys, we love you guys so much. Stay tuned for episode number 19. Till next time. Peace.
Yes.
Yes, sir.